Okay, why don't we go ahead and get started? Can you please start the recording? Thank you. My name is Barbara Roseman. I'm with the ICANN Policy Department. I'm overseeing the Who Is studies that were undertaken at the behest of the GNSO. And what we have today is an update on a number of different activities that are taking place within ICANN related to Who Is. We will have updates on two of the studies and an update from the IETF on the RESTful Who Is protocol that's being developed. So we have up here with me Stephen Pedlow from NORC. They have been working on Who Is Study 2. Murray Kercharavi, thank you, who is the co-chair of the IETF Weirds Group. Francisco Arias from ICANN, who will be talking about the roadmap, I believe. Yeah, and Lyman Chapin from InterIL, who worked on Who Is Study 4. So the basic thing here is that there's really a lot going on with Who Is right now, a lot of different activities, and as we all know, it's a controversial issue within ICANN. The attempt of the studies have been to gain some factual evidence that we can use in planning future policy. And I think we're getting some very good results from that. We're going to start today with Lyman Chapin's presentation and then go to the IETF work and then come back again to Stephen Pedlow for the other study. Lyman, unfortunately, has to leave us for a few minutes while he runs out to a meeting, and then he will be back again for question and answer. So, Lyman, would you like to go ahead and start the... do you have the cue thing for the... Great. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. The study that InterIL conducted was one of several that were commissioned by the GNSO Council going back as far as April 2011. And the point of the study that we conducted was to determine whether or not the conditions were available to perform the kind of data collection that would produce genuinely useful data for the Council in making policy decisions about, in particular, in our case, the use of reveal and relay requests to obtain information in the Who Is system that was located behind a proxy or privacy service that created an additional step in order to find information associated with a registrant. The reason that we had to conduct a feasibility study at all is because when the GNSO Council originally authorized a study of relay and reveal requests processing, they did not anticipate the response that they would get, which was essentially, there are too many unknowns. We being, you know, people who might potentially conduct such a study, we simply don't know who is out there, would they be willing to participate, how much data might really be available, what would the privacy concerns be, and so forth. And that led to the idea that perhaps before we try to design a full study of relay and reveal, that we go out and determine whether or not it would be feasible to do so. In other words, if you conducted such a study, would it be likely to succeed? So that was the point of this feasibility survey. It was also, in addition to determining feasibility, it was intended to gather information that would enable us to better design the full study, and also to identify potential participants and give them an opportunity to make themselves known so that if a full study were conducted, those people could participate in it, could be contacted. To give a brief, high-level summary of our findings, and I encourage you to obviously read the report for full details, and we found a very clear expectation among all the folks that we talked to, whether they were relay, reveal, originators or responders, proxy or privacy service providers, and others who were knowledgeable about the Who Is system, that the last thing they wanted to see from any study was simply a data collection exercise that led to no concrete or tangible progress on who is. And I'm sure all of you are familiar with the difficulty that we as a community have had in making progress on identifying what it is we're trying to do with who is and how we can best do it in a way that respects the rights and obligations of all the different players. So there was built into almost all of our exchanges with potential participants was this expectation that there would be tangible results. And, of course, that's not something that, certainly we could promise. It's not something that ICANN or the GNSO could necessarily promise because the process produces the results that it produces. And, therefore, the expectation that there will be tangible results might itself serve as a hindrance because a lot of people said, if this is just going to be another data gathering exercise that isn't going to lead to any improvement, then I'm not really interested in participating. The participation interest would also drop considerably if a full study were perceived as simply an attempt to identify bad actors and track down people who are violating laws or something like that. If it were perceived as primarily a witch hunt or an attempt to assign blame to one part of the community over another, the likelihood that people whose participation would be critical to the success of a study would actually be willing to talk to any study conductors would drop dramatically. So it would be very important to design the study in such a way that it was not perceived as being intended simply to go on a blame-hunting expedition. But we also found that in many cases, in fact, in most cases, although people were willing to provide data on the way in which relay and reveal requests were processed at various steps in the chain, that those data would, in almost all cases, be aggregated or anonymized, that we would not be able to obtain, because the participants would be unable or unwilling to provide, data that could be used, for example, to track the life cycle of a particular relay or reveal request or even a particular class or category of relay and reveal requests, so that we would be able to get aggregate data on the way in which these were processed by the different actors, but would almost certainly not be able to get individually identifiable or specific data. The ability to get any data, useful data, would, however, depend on the availability of privacy and confidentiality guarantees. And we have a little bit more about that later on. So I have four conclusions from the study to share with you, and we can go into these in more detail during Q&A later on. The first conclusion is perhaps the most obvious and the most important, which is that a full study of privacy and proxy reveal and relay would be feasible if it were defined in such a way as to resolve the barriers that we uncovered to participation. And that such a survey designed with those constraints would provide some but not all of the data that were anticipated by the GNSO Council going back to April 2011 when they originally commissioned and authorized this study. The original intent of the Council resolution going back was to provide data that would enable you to actually examine the way in which a class or even an individual relay or reveal request was processed from the originator through the service provider, in the case of relay, to the next party in line who would be the holder of the actual registrant data. And our results from the feasibility survey show that it would not, in fact, be possible to get data with that kind of granularity. In other words, that the data that would be available would be anonymized and aggregated. We did, however, find, and this was somewhat surprising, that pretty much across the board, everyone, all different kinds of participants, requesters, processors, and so forth, would welcome such a study. In particular, we found that there was a category of firms and organizations involved in providing proxy and privacy services who were eager to have such a study conducted because they felt that it would highlight the fact that their practices were in some sense clean and legal and above board and so forth, in contrast to the evil practices of the few, you know, sort of malcreants or whatever, miscreants that giving everybody else a bad name. So it's not just the people who are frustrated by their inability to obtain accurate registrant data through the current relay and reveal system who would like to see this study conducted. It's actually the people on the other side of the equation would like to see the study conducted as well, because it would discriminate, it would distinguish between people who are, in some sense, doing it right and people who are trying to use it as a way to shield unsavory or illegal activity. That was an interesting conclusion that we hadn't expected. It was very clear that confidentiality and convenience were both important. So the opportunity to anonymize or otherwise provide confidentiality guarantees with respect to any data that might be provided was important to almost everyone we talked to. So it's clear that any full study would have to enable people to respond either anonymously or with confidentiality guarantees with respect to the data that they might be providing about their customers. Convenience, actually, was an interesting additional requirement. No one that we talked to was interested in doing any engineering or instrumentation work, for example, to collect data that would, you know, other than the data that they collected in the normal course of operations. So, for instance, we didn't find anyone who was interested in adding to their system a probe or a sensor or any kind of data collection software or even just a process, adding to their process that would gather information. They'd be happy to share information that they collected in the normal course of their business, but that's as far as they'd be willing to go. They were not motivated to go on, to go beyond that. And the fourth conclusion, the final conclusion, is that we conclude that a full study conducted according to these constraints and observing the confidentiality requirements and so forth might not satisfy the expectations of either the community or the council with respect to the validity of the data, because it would be difficult to establish and confirm the validity of the data, or independent verifiability, meaning the ability of a third party to look at the data set and be able to confirm that, in fact, it was accurate, representative, and so forth. So what we really have to think of is, would a study that had to be conducted under those constraints provide data that would be sufficiently useful to the GNSO that it would be worth conducting the study? In other words, if you did this study, you would have these kinds of data with these kinds of characteristics and maybe these encumbrances. Is that something that the GNSO could effectively use in its policy discussions, or would it, in fact, not be terribly useful? Obviously, if those data would not be useful with those constraints, then it wouldn't be worth doing the study. That was the key point that the council was trying to establish in doing the feasibility study. We did decide that it would be possible to obtain certain kinds of data from a full study, but of course we were not in a position to make the judgment call as to whether or not that kind of data, that type of data set, would be sufficient to meet the expectations of the community or the council. So I'd be happy to. You know, do you want Barb? Do you want to take questions now or take questions later? That's the.
I think it might be easier if we take questions together at the end because of your having to go and come back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, Murray, would you like to go next?
Sure. Morning. My name's Murray, and I'm the co-chair of the WEIRDS working group at the IETF, who is tackling the technical side of this. You have one more slide.
No, I'm just reminding.
Just keep going.
Can you put up the next presentation, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's it. Great. So there's much interest on the technical side of coming up with a replacement for WHOIS. Some of it is driven by the policy discussions at ICANN. Some of it is just driven by community interest. The main points are that WHOIS, defined in RFC 3912, the conventional WHOIS protocol, has never been equipped with the ability to deliver internationalized data, which is becoming obviously very important as we move in that direction. Another important point is that there is no proper data framework to go with the answer. Two different WHOIS servers you talk to could deliver dates in completely different formats or not at all. Phone numbers the same. Things can arrive out of order, which makes it's very easy for humans to find what they want in the output, but for any kind of automated system that wants to access WHOIS and do something interesting with it, these points stymie that kind of effort. There is no current capability to support differentiated access for service providers that wish to do so. For example, if you want to show a different set of fields to different clients, the only way you can do that now is based on an IP address. And IP addresses these days are can be shared by many different clients. So if you want to do rate limiting, if you want to show different fields to different clients, that simply isn't possible in a reliable fashion right now. And I try to clarify that when I talk about privileged access to the data, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to show PII to these guys and not. It could also mean I'm simply not going to let you do a certain number of queries per hour unless I can positively identify you as someone who should have that access. So the IETF we've charted, there's sufficient interest to create a working group called WEIRDS. There's the full acronym spelled out there. We are charted to standardize a data framework. It's clear that we want to do this. That was one of the major driving points in the beginning, and all these other things came along as well. Deliver objects encapsulated in a framework, a simple framework that makes the software easy to deploy, easy to layer on existing databases, and it reuses the public code base as much as possible, which lands us squarely in the field of doing HTTP and RESTful work. Those familiar with the technologies, I'm not going to go into those here unless we really want that, but you'll know that this makes it, there's a huge amount of code out there on which you can build services in this way. We have not forgotten that this is, we're not under the delusion that this is the first run we've taken at replacing WHOIS. There was the CRISP working group, which produced a number of RFCs some time ago to produce an attempted replacement that received just almost no adoption at all due to its complexity and other matters. But the requirements that were spelled out during that work are essentially the same ones we have today. And so we have not forgotten them. We are using them as a reference, and we're reminded of them regularly. One of our primary goals is to produce a simple, easy-to-implement protocol that does support internationalized data. There are several ways to do that, those kinds of encodings in basic ASCII protocols, and we're going to ensure that that happens. We will support the capability of differential service and address the needs as much as possible of both name and number registries in a single protocol. This work started out very clearly divided that we wanted to produce a set of protocols for the names, which is what ICANN's interested in, and also for the numbers, the RIRs. There has been a shift in thinking that there's so much in common between the two. There's more in common between the two than there is different, so why not produce one base protocol that can handle both of those constituencies and only differ as in a few certain key areas. So we want to try to unify them as much as possible. So very briefly, what is a RESTful service? It's something based on HTTP, a very simple interface. It is stateless, which makes it the back end very easy to implement. Everything is represented by a URI. You can see an example here. The host name tells us where the data is. The middle part is what type of question you're asking. And the last part, the Costi-Aaron piece, is the specific piece of data you're requesting. This is actually a live URI. You can try that, and you will hit a RESTful WHOIS server. Are there other properties of REST, the REST principles, that mean these services can be deployed and expanded in very interesting, modular, and simple ways? So, and we already actually have running code. Five of the six RIRs have, or four of the five, I can't remember, have stood up prototypes of this, and in fact, Aaron's prototype now sees more traffic in this new WHOIS system than traditional port 43 sees. So the momentum to do this, at least on the number side, is very serious, and I'm hoping to capture as much of that as possible for the names work. So the working group was chartered in April of this year. There are five major documents we're working on right now, each of which will theoretically become RFCs. The basic description of doing this work using HTTP is the first one. How to form a query using a URI is the second. The reply format, which we've landed on JSON, is going to be the third. We did look at XML and opted against it. There's a comprehensive security considerations document that talks about how you would go about doing certain data privacy, client distinction, that sort of thing, and a fifth one about how to do redirects the way Aaron does. For example, if you ask Aaron for information about an IP they don't own, they'll simply redirect the query to the new location. The current set of milestones has this last one completed by December of 2013. They don't all have to go in one big omnibus package for approval. We might get the first several done while the last one is still being worked on. So that is not a full deadline. The approval policy process through the IETF is usually a couple of months beyond that. So we're looking at probably first quarter of 2014 before it's all finished. But some of them may be done well ahead of that. I'm going to skip these two unless we need to talk about them. But to get involved, if you want to monitor this work or participate, the next full meeting will be of the IETF is November 4th to 9th in Atlanta.